Let's pray. And our Father, as we behold your word today, we'll find revelation of Christ from your word. Our senses are exercised, our mind is refreshed, our understanding are enlightened in the name of Jesus Christ. As we behold the word, we behold Christ from the word, and he is glorified, and we are edified in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we began talking about the new birth and the leading of the Spirit. So, and I said we should be rounding up on the new birth so that we'll have time to talk about the leading of the Spirit from next week. Okay. Let us do a quick review. Open your Bible with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. From verse 15 into 16. It says, "And from childhood, brethren, you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He said, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." He said that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's take a look at the word sophizo, wise, in verse 15. It said, Paul said, from childhood, speaking to Timothy, he said, "You have known the Holy Scripture," he said, "which are able to make thee wise." The word wise is that Greek word that means soft, that means clever, smartness, intelligent. You understand? Now he says, and that is the Greek word sophizo. He says, "They are able to make thee wise." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he uses the word clever. Clever. Very important. That is to say, Paul testified that the skillfulness on the message of salvation that Timothy had came as a result of the knowledge of the scriptures. Do you understand? Now he uses the word wise for that as what? Clever. Hallelujah. Sophizo. Hallelujah. That is where we get the word Sophia for. Hallelujah. Wise, clever. Glory to God. As regards scriptures, wise. Now, and what we read there is that you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise. Do you understand? Now, the word for scripture is the word grammar. The word for scripture in verse 15 is the word grammar. The word grammar, you find similar word used as grammar in Acts of Apostles chapter 26, verse 24. Acts of Apostles 26, verse 24. You find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 6 to 7. Acts 28, 21. Romans 2, 27, 29. Romans 2, 27 and 29. Romans 7 and 6. I take it again. Acts 26, verse 24. 2 Corinthians 3, 6 to 7. Acts 28, verse 21. Romans 2, 27. 2, 29. 7, verse 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'll just read a few of those verses. Acts 26, 24. And as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself with much learning." He said, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." That was when Paul had his defense against Festus. And, after talking and talking and talking, with the words he used, if you read from verses, I guess that should be from verses 12 He began talking. In fact, Agrippa was almost convinced.
Hallelujah.
He used plain speech.
Hallelujah.
He was absolute in his speech. He used plain speech. And the next thing was that Festus, part of the guys there, just shouted, "Paul, too much book. Don't make it cool." Now he said, "Much learning." The word learning is the word grammar. Did you get that? Grammar. Take note of how it's used. Let's look at chapter 28, verses 21. It says, And they said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any brethren who came reported or spoken evil of you." Now, the word grammar there is the word letter. The word letter. Do you understand? It's the word letter. You find it used as letter also in Romans 2, verse 27. Romans 2, 27. Let's be there. Romans 2, 27. He says, "And will not the physically circumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, even with your written code and circumcision, are transgressors of the law?" But verse 29, he then says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter." Do you get that? "Whose praise is not from man, but from God." Take note of the word, he uses the word letter. In verse 27, he uses the word law. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Now, let's go quickly to chapter 7, verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 6. It says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." Take note of the word letter. Hallelujah. Letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You will quote that word. "Not of the letter. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life." Made mention of that word like two times in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you with me? Verses 3. I would have loved to read from verse 1, but I will give you the explanation. Hallelujah. From verses 3 to verses 6. It says, "Clearly, you are the epistle of Christ, ministered to us, written not in ink, but in the spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stones." Take note of that word, tablets of stones. "But on the tablet of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ's word to God, through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also had made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life." Did you see that? Some people say, "The letter kills. Don't study the letter, read the spirit." Hallelujah. Somebody one day now interpreted it and said, "Logos kills." Is that not going too far? Logos kills, Rema gives life. It was not Logos that is there. You understand? Never would you find where it says Logos kills. Rather, in Ephesians, in Hebrews, he said, "The Logos of God is living and active, is quick and active." He refers to Jesus as the Logos of God. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Logos." Do you understand? "And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. In the beginning was the Word." So, the Logos of God does not kill. Did you get that? So, what he refers to here as what kills is the letters. Now, what does he refer to as letters? He refers to what as letters in verse 3. He refers to what? The tablet of stones. Hallelujah. What was written? Now, what is he referring to? What was written on tablets of stone? That is what he referred to as the letters.
If you have, you know, we have that message, sufficient ministers. Make sure you listen to it. Hallelujah. It is what is written on the tablets of stone. That is what killed them. Hallelujah. Did you get that? That is what Paul making reference to say kills. Hallelujah. Rather, Jesus will say, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and alive. Some people have made series out of the temptation of Jesus and the devil. He said, when Jesus spoke to the devil, he was quoting Logos, and Satan kept coming. But when he released Rhema, hallelujah. We are a funny set of people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I heard that message severally, but I did not see it. I never preached it. Hallelujah. Because I knew there was something wrong somewhere. Did you get that? Because number one, I knew for a long time that the temptation of Jesus Christ was not a physical temptation. Satan never appeared physically. Do you understand? So number one, that was number one thing that I knew in my heart that day. Do you understand? So I couldn't have dived into such whatever. Do you understand? Ha. It was a temptation in the mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do you understand what I'm saying? So when it refers to letters, it was referring to the tablets of stones. In Romans, what it refers to as letters was the law. Do you understand me? We all read it together, right? In the book of Acts, and when it refers to the law, it refers to specific context. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 21, it said, we've not received any letter. Do you understand? Now, the word receiving any letter, there refers to a content of a writing. So, in summation, what can we say concerning grammar? We could now say, grammar is a word which implies the content of a writing. And it is always in reference mostly to where? The Old Testament writings. Do you understand? It's in reference to the Old Testament writings. Did you get that? So it refers to the content of a writing, the content of a writer. Now, when Paul spoke to Timothy, wrote to Timothy, he said, you have known the Holy Scriptures, the grammar, the Holy Spirit, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What is he telling? What was he telling Timothy? He's telling Timothy that the content of the Scriptures will make you skillful. Accurate knowledge of the Scripture will make you skillful in the words of salvation. What scripture was it making reference to? The Old Testament writings. Did you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So therefore, we would say that Paul agrees to the fact, or is saying that in the Old Testament writings, in the Old Testament scripture, they are, or will say that the content, Paul, let me put it like this. Paul testifies that the content of the Old Testament writings has facts. Take that, because that will be a bedrock for all our study. He said has facts that talks about salvation. Salvation, we'll talk about salvation, we'll talk about the new birth, right? They're not different. Talks about salvation, has facts that talks about salvation. And that the explanation, now that is now verse 16 say this is profitable, Ophilimos, profitable for doctrine, for teaching. Do you understand? So we could now say that the explanation of the scripture is profitable for spiritual growth. It's profitable for teaching, teaching for reproof, reproof for correction, correction for instruction in righteousness. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I hope you are writing. Make sure you are. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth. So, the explanation of the scripture is profitable for spiritual growth. Which scripture? The writings of the Old Testament. Do you understand me?
So when Paul now says in verse 16, all scripture. Now, the other word scripture is the word graphe.
All scripture.
Now, when he now says all scripture, remember I said, you use the word all in content, in context of the write-up, right? When he now says all scripture, graphe means writing in itself. Now, if he now says all writings, it's given by the inspiration of God. It then means every writing of old came by the inspiration of God.
Even the ones written in Israel and outside Israel. Do you understand? When they now say all,
do you understand that? Eh? So we will now, in the context of this write-up, we should now know what the all scripture means. And what is all scripture? We go back to verse 15. What is all scripture will now be all grammar. Do you understand me? All content of the writing that has salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus is profitable for explanation. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So he now, what Paul means by all scripture, it means all that is contained that has salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus is profitable for doctrine. Do you understand me? Did you get that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay. And for spiritual growth.
So therefore, if you go to the scripture and you see where Satan said, I go through and through the earth, is this not even for doctrine? Eh? Does he have salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus? So can you pick that one and say it's profitable for doctrine? No. So it is the content that tells what is profitable for doctrine. Do you understand that?
Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you now see
why you have to study the scriptures well?
And you know, the explanations to these things, it is not in our place. I keep saying it. It's not in our place to go and start looking for explanations to the Old Testament. The explanation to the Old Testament has been given. Do you understand? Very important. It has been given. Glory to God. What explains it? Paul will say the epistles are explanations of the Old Testament writings. Do you understand? The epistles are. So when you what you do is that when you read, do you understand? When you read in the light of the word epistles. For example, Ephesians chapter 3. Quickly, look at what Paul said. Verses 2 into 3. He said, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've written as I've written briefly already. He said, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Do you understand that? When you read in 2 Corinthians, he will say that mystery that was, he will say it has been revealed to us by the Spirit. When he spoke about us, he refers to themselves. Don't you understand me? The foundational apostles in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 or chapter 4, he will now say, I, Paul, plant. Do you understand? Now, he says, listen to what he said. He said, he tries to distinguish between himself, his work, and Apollos. Do you understand? He said, I pour plant. Apollos what? Waters. He said, but the Lord giveth the increase. Do you understand? He says, he that planted is nothing, neither is he that waters anything, but it's the Lord that giveth the increase. But he said, I have laid the foundation. He said, let he who what builds take heed on how he builds. Do you understand me? Now, he didn't say, I and Apollos have laid foundation. No. Do you understand me? The word foundation is the word temelios, which means something that is stable, irremovable. Do you understand? Temelios, foundation. Hallelujah. The same word is used in Luke when Jesus spoke about a house that is built on the mount, on the rock. Do you understand me? He said, when the breeze comes, the wave come, he said, because his foundation is built on the rock, he has a good foundation. Do you understand that?
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Temelios, something that is stable, irremovable. Do you understand? So Paul said he has planted Apollos waters. And what is the planting? The explanation of these things. So in Paul's write-up, you will find Paul used most times the word mystery to qualify the Old Testament writings. We just read one now. Look at what he said. He said, look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 3. He said, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Do you understand me? The mystery of Christ. He calls it the mystery of Christ. And whenever time the word mystery is used, mysterion, it is used in reference to the Old Testament writings. Let's go to Romans chapter 16 immediately. Just to take this into, okay, no, let's just look at that Ephesians. We'll take it into verse 9. Now we'll see. Now it says, which in other ages, not you will know it was. Let's see if the reference there was to the Old Testament writing, right? Look at Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 3. I'll read it from verse 3. Say, how that by revelation, apocalypsis, right? By revelation, he made known to me the mystery, mysterion, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now let's see what he calls the mystery of Christ. He said, which in other ages. Now when he talks about other ages, is in reference to what? Which in other ages, he's talking, is in reference to the Old Testament. Did you understand that? When he talks about other ages, is in reference to the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit of his glory to his holy apostles and prophets. Did you see to everybody? He said to his holy apostles and prophets. When he used the word holy apostles and prophets, he's not talking about two different sets of people. He's talking about his holy apostles who are prophetees. Prophetees do not mean the mouthpiece of God. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he used the word prophet, he's not using the word prophet as in an office, but as in a function. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his Spirit. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, meaning that mystery which they did not know is what? The Gentiles becoming a partaker of the identification in Christ. Hallelujah. So, the mystery is our identification in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Romans chapter 16 quickly. Now let's look at from verse 25. It says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Take note of the word my gospel. Now Paul does not personalize, it means his teaching. And his gospel is the gospel of Christ. Right? In chapter 1, you know what his gospel is. He said, I'm not afraid of the gospel of Christ. Right? I'm not afraid of the gospel of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 9, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, somebody has said, God, Paul has his own gospel. Peter has his own gospel. They all have their gospel. It is how you view God. That is how God is to you. No. Hallelujah. The gospel that Paul referred to as my gospel was Paul making a claim on the gospel of Christ. In chapter 1 verse 9, he said it. He said, I'm not afraid of the gospel of the Lord. In chapter 1, Edda verse 1 and 2, he calls it the gospel of God. He calls it the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he said, who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching. Now the word and is the word kai, which is the preaching of Jesus Christ. Did you see? So Paul's gospel is what? The preaching of Christ. Hallelujah.
That is the preaching of Christ according to the revelation, Apocalypse. Remember, this is the second time he's mentioning mystery and he's bringing in Apocalypse around that same text. It tells you something. We'll get there. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. According to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. What began the world? What was he referencing there? The Old Testament. Do you understand me? How was he kept secret? How was he said? No, it was not kept secret by the writings. It was kept secret because of their unbelief. Because it was made known. We saw last week when they drank of the rock, and in Deuteronomy, Moses would tell them the rock is God. The rock, do you understand me? God is the rock. Do you understand? So Moses told them what the rock signified, but their minds was not on the explanation. Do you understand me? Why? Because of their unbelief, stiff-neckedness. Do you understand? So it became hidden to them. Remember, these guys, these folks, they knew that there would be a Christ. We saw that, right? They knew that there would be a Christ, but they didn't know his works. Do you understand me? Because they don't understand the language of the prophets. Why? Because of their hearts. Do you understand? The issue was their heart. So it was kept secret because of their heart. And that is why in Luke chapter 24, the Bible will say Jesus opened their understanding. Meaning the problem was not with the message, the problem was their understanding. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. And that's why he could tell them, oh foolish ones, slow of understanding. Slow to believe in all that the prophet has said. Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Paul looks at, when Paul speaks about the mystery, he speaks about it in reference to the Old Testament writing, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Let's go quickly to Colossians 1, 26. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Okay. I'll start from verse 25. It says, okay, 24. Now I rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up my flesh that is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship. Stewardship, so version will call it dispensation or oikonomio, from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He said the mystery which was hid from ages. Mark the word ages. Did you see it? Which was hid from ages. Ages is a reference to where? The Old Testament. The time of old, right? It was hidden from ages and generation past. But none has been revealed to his saints. Look at the word again that follows that mystery. What's the word? Revealed. Did you see that? Revealed. Hallelujah. Now, if we look at the word mystery, is the word mysterion. Mysterion. The word mystery from the Greek is the word mysterion. It implies something that is kept secret. Okay, mysterion means a closed mouth. Like, it refers to when something is closed. But there's another meaning that it has. If you look at it from its origin, from its root word, it means something that is closed that needs explanation. Why is it closed? Why was it a mystery? Because of their unbelief. Do you understand me? Did you get that? Why was it a mystery? Because of their unbelief. Do you understand? So it was a mystery. So was it God that made it a mystery? No. Because the Bible shows us that God is the Father of light. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So to him, it was a mystery because of their unbelief, their stiff-neckedness.
their hardness of heart. It was a mystery. Now, from the root word, it means something that is closed, that needs explanation. So that is why you find Paul say the apocalypse, the, you understand me, the explanation. Now, every time you find Paul mention mystery, he will still tell you about the explanation. He will explain it to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That is why if you study for
Matthew chapter 7,
verse 28. Let's go to Matthew 7, 28. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Okay. Jesus began to teach from chapter 5. His message on the mount from chapter 5 to chapter 7. You understand? He taught all truth. Where was he teaching from?
The Old Testament writings.
We said it now, right? So he was teaching, blessed are the days. So Jesus automatically walked. When he said blessed from chapter 5 verse 1, when he said blessed are the poor in spirit, from chapter 5 verse, they say blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger. Did you see blessed are those who have money, who have G-Wagon? Blessed are those who gained admission. Blessed are those who have 10 million naira in their account. No. Because the blessedness of God is not in material things. Never in the Bible would you find God call anyone. Never in the Bible would you find Jesus or the apostles call those who are rich in materiality blessed. Do you understand me? So the blessedness of God is not in materials. So never bring God into materiality. Never bring God into how should I put it again? Never bring God into mammon. Do you understand me? Never bring him. Never associate God with mammon. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. But rather, he tells us those who are rich towards God, those who have the Spirit. Hallelujah. They're rich. So the riches of God is not in materials. You understand? The blessing, the blessedness of God is not counted for material things. In fact, those who go ahead shouting, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. They shall provide all my needs according to his riches in glory.
When people just speak out a verse, you know, Kenneth Hagin will say, if you take a verse out of context, it becomes vulnerable. You can give it any meaning that is outside the original meaning. It becomes vulnerable. Do you understand? Imagine you are in a managerial meeting. Listen, you are in a managerial meeting, and you are to bring, for example, or we are in a meeting with. Let me use somebody that is very dreadful. No, dreadful. Let me think of somebody. Who should I use? Idi Amin. I don't want to call somebody that is alive now and they'll say, I'm looking for trouble. Now, you know Idi Amin? One of the dreadedest military dictator in the world. He's a man that said, freedom of speech. You have freedom of speech. I can guarantee you freedom of speech, but I will not guarantee you what will happen after your freedom of speech. Do you understand? How is Idi Amin? Now, imagine you are having a meeting with Idi Amin, and you know how dreaded he is. Anyhow, he's very dreaded. Do you understand? Dreadful. Now sat in a meeting with him, and you are to give him a cup of tea, and he now asks you, how are we going to take down Sudan? I don't want to give you. He asks you a question here with his cup of tea. You now say, sir, is your cup of tea? Maybe you just drop the cup of tea. And you say, is your cup of tea? What do you think will happen to you if you are not explaining the fact that this is your cup of tea? And you just say, is your cup of tea? You are in deep shit. Hope you know. Do
Do you know that? Or let me now give an example, another example. You are talking to me. Listen, you are talking to me. And Pastor Sammy Jeff is passing. And you don't want to tell me, sir, this is your cup of tea. And I'm not asking, how are we going to take over the world with the word of God? And you know, I was asking that, you know, I said, sir, that is your cup of tea. No, you are with me. And you're pointing. And I'm saying, when a serious meeting and Pastor Samuel was passing, and because the cup of tea is there, and I said, how are we going to take over the world with the word of God? How? You know, sir, we're going to go down to Sudan. How am I calling Sudan today? We're going to go down to Sudan. We're going to take the gospel there. Who's going to volunteer? And Sister Beth now said, sir, that is your cup of tea. And Sammy Jeff was passing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pastor Spot has fallen hand. Even a member is now saying that is his cup of tea. Why will he say so? Because he never knew the conversation before then. Maybe I've told her before now. Bring me my cup of tea. Do you understand? Do you understand? And she was now pointing at the cup of tea. Sir, that is a cup of tea. And you didn't know what she was doing. But you understand? She doesn't know how. How do you say that? No honor, Abby. You don't have honor. You don't have honor. How can you be telling your mother, God, that is your cup of tea? Whereas she was just doing it with sincere heart. That, sir, your cup of tea is by your side, though. Do you understand? So it now has to do with your application, meaning you have to know what she was saying in context. Do you understand? Before you can conclude that she was telling me what I was saying was my cup of tea. Do you understand? And that is how it is. If you take the scripture out of context, it becomes vulnerable. Do you understand? You make it vulnerable. When I mean vulnerable, I mean you can give it any meaning outside the meaning that the writer actually intends for it to have. Very important. Hallelujah. So never does God use blessing for a man or for material things. In fact, when Abraham said to Isaac, he said, Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh Jireh. It was not for money. No, do not for anything material. In fact, the Lord shall supply all my needs according to, right? He has supplied all my needs according to his riches in glory. He has. And what is all my needs? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand that? Or Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and then look at verse 13. Hallelujah. All of them can afford. Which is the earnest of our spirit. The earnest of our expectation, which is the spirit of God. Hallelujah. So when Abraham said to Isaac, Jehovah will provide. Will provide what? Is it money? No. He will provide the offering. Hallelujah. And in Hebrews, he said, and Abraham received back his son in a figure. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So did God provide? Yes. Was it money? No, he provided the lamb. It tells you, God in the new creation is the one who provides the offering, and it does the offering for us. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Can we go ahead? Okay. So, I got here from somewhere. You know how I came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Paul will call it, the writers of the Old Testament, something that needs explanation. Hallelujah. And it
explanation. And that explanation is what they have given to us. You find it in the epistles, right? Hallelujah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, sorry. I said we should open to Matthew 7. Okay, now I know how I got here. Well, so if you look at the writings for Matthew chapter 5, his teaching, when he used blessed, in chapter 7, verse 28, look at it. And so it was when Jesus had ended all this saying that the people were astonished at his teaching. At his teaching, the word teaching is the word didache. His mode of explaining. What was he explaining? He was explaining Moses. Do you understand me? Explaining the Old Testament writings. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people will quote and say, that which is old is ready to vanish away. You don't have a business with Genesis to Malachi. He that is born of God is of the new creation. We have no business with the Old Testament. Be careful with your mode of explanation. Hallelujah. What was Jesus teaching from? The Bible says the Pharisees were astonished at his didache, at his teaching, his mode of explaining Moses. In fact, verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Meaning the scribes and him, they taught from the same place, but he talks differently. Look at chapter 7 very well. Go back. So chapter 5, verse 43. It says, you have heard that it was said. You know, I told you the explanation started from where? Chapter 5, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you find Jesus Christ giving much more explanation, much more insight to Moses. Do you understand? Much more insight. Look at verse 27. Let's talk about verse 27. It says, okay, I don't want to stand too long here. Let's go to 43. That you have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I said to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use and persecute you. Did you understand this? He said, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. Now take note of that word, verse 5, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. But they were not yet sons. Do you understand me? They were not yet sons. So why would Jesus now speak to them and tell them, you will be the son of your Father in heaven? Remember, in verse 44, he had just picked out Moses. Do you understand? He had picked out the word for Moses and he gave an explanation. Moses would tell them, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. Now they didn't understand what Moses means by love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now Jesus will not buttress that point. He will not say, hey, but I say to you, love your enemy. Because in their mind, their enemy are human beings who do not like them. Do you understand me? Now Jesus, what will Jesus do? Jesus will now shift their attention from who their enemies was and put their attention on who the enemy is. Jesus never contradicted Moses. Who is the enemy in the New Testament? The devil. But in the Old Testament, there was no clear distinction of the devil. Do you understand? And that is why in a write-up, it will be said the destroyer. He said the death angel from the presence of the Lord. No. Do you understand? There is no death angel from the presence of the Lord. Do you understand? It's because there is no proper interpretation of who the devil is. And that is why in the garden, the devil will be seen as a serpent. Do you understand? As someone will say, and serpent talk. You know, I once said that, and after I was done saying it did not sound well in my mouth. You know what I said? I said, and the serpent spoke. Serpent can speak. in those days.
But I then discovered that even when I was done, I said, ah, man, this thing is not right. Do you understand? You just know. Ah! Now, this realm are no dive. Do you understand? It's not diving. It didn't enter. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was a disobedient in the mind, in their heart. Do you understand me? So because Satan was not known, do you understand? Because of the revelation of Satan was not clear, listen, it was not clear, so what was used? What was used? A serpent was used figuratively. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Did you get that?
Hallelujah. So, do you now see how to read creation history? That they ate apple. No.
If you understand the writing of Moses, you understand that when he said the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and of the tree of life, he was referring to the same thing that Moses said, I set before you life and death. Do you understand me? Life and death. I want to be life. The message, the gospel, the believing on the gospel is life, and the rejection of the gospel is death. So the moment they said, and Eve ate of the tree, Eve, what happened? That Eve disbelieved.
Do you understand that? Did you understand that? Hallelujah. 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 So it was
beyond a story. Do you understand?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he said, let us make man in our image.
I said, let us make man in our image. He was, you have to read in
John chapter 1, verse 14, when he said,
and the word became flesh, and the tabernacle among us, I will behold his glory. So the Holy, he calls him the only begotten of the Father, right?
Hallelujah.
And then you now have to read in Hebrews, where he calls him the express image of his person. Who was he referring to as the express image? Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, he has referred to him as the express image of his person. It tells you that what he was talking about there was the man in Christ. And not Adam.
Do you understand? Do you understand? Hallelujah. 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 Can you see how where are we getting the explanations from the epistles? Have I quoted anything now as explanation without looking at the epistles? No. So you find Jesus quotes these things, and you know, you find Jesus say, hey, he now shift the attention from who the enemy in their minds, or who they thought was their enemy because of their stiff-neckedness, do you understand me? And place it on the right one. Hallelujah. Look at what, I wouldn't like to draw this conclusion here, but let's just look at it. He said, what Moses told them is hate your enemy, singular. And Jesus said, love your enemies. Did you see that? That's why I said, I wouldn't want to draw any conclusion yet. Do you understand me? Eh? But you know, Moses' enemy to them was not supposed to be, do you understand? Was supposed to be singular. Did you get that? So, his explanation. Now, Jesus now used a narrative in verse 45. What they've not become, but it will now happen in the new birth. He said that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. They were not sons. They can't be sons. Do you understand me? But he's telling them this now because he knows what he's telling them now will be a recipe for what? Spiritual growth. Do you understand? So Jesus will speak to them in such a way that at his resurrection, do you understand? At his resurrection, they will find his words as recipe for spiritual growth. They are not children of God then. They are only his disciples trying to know God. They cannot be children of God until the new birth. Do you understand? Hallelujah. But he will use that word to tell them what they will find or what will happen to them at the new birth. Do you understand that? Do you understand me? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah.